Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What is up?
Now, how many people today, upon seeing you, the very first thing out of their mouth is your haircut, and are you tired of it yet?
Well, I've only seen, wait, one, two, three, four, five. You're six. Mm-hmm. I've only seen six people today.
And I'm assuming that every single person, upon seeing you, oh my God, your hair!
Well, my wife didn't, because she saw it over the weekend. That's one.
But I'm certain that she, upon seeing it for the first time, made a comment on it.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's one of those things that I don't
know. Of course.
Because women always complain that no one ever noticed when they do something to their hair, which to me is
I notice.
Yeah, you do notice, but look, let's be honest.
And you know what tips me off?
What?
I know she's going to the hair dresser.
Well, there you go.
Dresser.
But you've had that before where she comes home and you're like, what? Sure, and
you looks
see,
great.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
But you just don't. You just always say it looks great.
But with guys, I feel like anytime a guy gets his haircut, that or does really anything to change, shaves a beard, a mustache, the hair, that is immediately where you go. You're like, oh my gosh, your hair. Hey, got a haircut. Looks good. Although I got my haircut today, and no one said a damn thing. And quite frankly, it hurts my feelings.
So four out of six.
Four out of six. That's actually less. I would have said minimum five out of six.
Wait, four out of six. Well, Dirt and Sprague said something.
Yeah, and they did the shock. Oh, look at you!
Jeff Russ did not.
Mm. I'm just not here enough.
You did.
Yeah.
And then Joe Fish did.
Yeah.
So, four out of six.
It looks good.
Yeah, thanks. I got a haircut, guys.
I'm not going to lie, I'm a little sad.
Yeah.
You know, I like to live vicariously through other people's hair.
Well, it's not like you can't grow it back out.
Well, I can't.
I mean, me.
I'm just saying, I was living vicariously through your hair. Like, I'd see your hair and I'm like, hey, we're having a good hair day today. Like, everyone always thinks we're one entity. Therefore, when you were having a good hair day, I was having a good hair day, and it made me feel better about my situation, my Sipowitz. And now you got short hair. Like,
yeah. Back to, not, you know, like getting hit on as much probably.
Yeah.
But that's okay because it was getting a little overwhelming.
It was a bit much.
I was being hit on.
Everywhere you go. I'm like, you're in Trader Joe's. You're trying to buy some mini tacos and you know, it's a mob scene. I get it.
Let's test this.
Are we okay over there? You guys, you guys working out some kinks?
Things have changed since Jeff Rust has been in here. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, hey! Jeff Rust!
Hi.
And I'd play the clap.
But we have no fanfare.
So. Okay, again, so Jeff, since I've seen you, I have my own little computer now, so I get to play cool things. And as soon as you figure out how to get that onto the air, I'll play stuff.
I will let you know.
Yeah, all right.
Cool.
I don't know where Mike is. Where's Mike?
I think he's just taking some time off.
He had a couple extra vacation days.
Yeah.
So he thought he'd give himself a four-day weekend.
Good for him.
I think he's just doing Mike Lynch things. I'm not certain what Mike Lynch does in his free time, but I'm sure it's wonderful.
Great.
What do any of us do? It's COVID times, right? There's a limited number of things that you can do. I doubt he's jet-setting to Paris right now. My guess is in Salem somewhere doing something that we won't discuss. Maybe some video games, possibly beer, possibly taping a Beers on Us podcast. He seems like one of those guys that on his day off that he would be going to do something for the podcast.
I see him like sitting in a brewery
Yeah.
with a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Taping his thoughts on what he's drinking.
100%.
That's what I see.
He's gone today and tomorrow.
By himself.
I would bet money, and I'm not being like, I'm being dead serious on this. I would bet money that he will do that. That he will go to a brewery and take notes on something that he's drinking.
Test, test. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Test, test. 1, 2, 3. Test, test.
Hey, look at that. We're back.
There it is.
Thanks, Joe Fisher. You're up and running.
Nice work, Rusty. Jeff Rust, everybody.
Hey!
He'll be here today and tomorrow for us while Mike does Mike things.
Now, wouldn't it be nice if Mike put the same sort of effort into this program that he actually gets paid to do as opposed to the Beers on Us podcast? But
well, no one wants to be a radio producer, let's be honest. No. All radio producers are people who want to host shows and they're just biding their time.
And they're doing other work other than the one that they are paid for in hopes that they no longer will have to do the thing that they are paid for.
It's all a ploy to get out of
it
what
really
they do.
It really is quite the conundrum, right?
It is. I luckily never had to go that route, but I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. We've had a lot of guys do that here. You know, Dusty had to do that for the longest time.
And some of them have moved on to other things. See Dusty.
Yeah. Dusty and
he didn't want to do the job.
Bernie, oh hell no!
No one did.
Bernie, have we ever had a producer that wanted to be our producer?
Bernie, I think, wanted to be the producer.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And the weird thing is, he's the one guy that we got rid of.
Well, he was good. Didn't.
They fired him. The station as a whole.
He was
everyone
too expensive.
Else just moves on. Bernie was the one guy that wanted the job.
He made money.
We've been doing this like 17 years. He's the one guy that wanted to do it, and he's the guy that they told couldn't do it anymore.
He was the one real producer that we hired from out of market, like real radio stations do.
Yeah,
and
the
yet
one.
They, I think he was here 8 months and then they turfed him, like totally pulled
they
the rug out from
him. Hi-yah!
I don't know why they did that.
That was during the great economic downturn. If you remember that correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Intercom has no heart. Well, no heart. No heart.
What do we have to protest now? We got to get, I don't want to protest. I don't want
to. So now we're back to just having producers that play on Facebook and push buttons.
Yeah, and they just hate us with a thinly veiled, you know, layer of smile.
Right.
But you know what I'm doing in here.
But deep down.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying our perm producers. Yes. I think when Rust comes in, he's a tryhard. He wants to do well.
It's an exploratory thing. He's not in here very much. So it's just, he's fumbling around.
He
right?
wants
it's,
to do well.
Yeah. It's
good. I've got you guys fooled.
Yeah. Rust is on a date and it's been a while and he's fumbling around at those back straps. But one of these days, that's going to get unhooked and something great's going to happen. I feel it.
Well, every time I come in, there's something new that nobody told me about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You ever do that? Like, I don't know. Like, I did roofing in the summer when I was in college.
No, I didn't.
But did you ever have like something you did like a skill, right? So, and then every now and then someone asks me, hey, can you help me out with the roof? You used to do that. Where my family will have something happen and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember how to do that. It's been 20 years. Guess what? You don't really remember. You have a general idea. You're like, I remember doing this once. And then as you go through it, you're like, oh, I'm going to make 17 errors before I figure out what I'm doing. Or math homework. Your kid's like, hey, can you help me with these fractions? You're like, I've done fractions. And then you sit down and you're like, I know that's in there somewhere, but it's going to take a while. I feel like that's Rust. You know, he comes back and there's a lot of buttons and knobs and radio things and he'll figure it out eventually. There'll be a YouTube video that'll explain it. You'll get it.
There's always a quick like 10 minutes where I'm unfrozen caveman lawyer in here.
Oh, just a caveman.
Can we talk roofing for a second?
Sure. Don't ask me anything specific because I'll probably butcher it, but.
Seems hard, roofing.
Hard as in technical or hard as in like physical labor?
Just physically.
Yeah.
You know, you're on these roofs and.
Yeah.
Or is it roofs?
It'll kick your ass a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, that just seems tough. You know, you're in the elements, you're in the sun.
Mm-hmm. Like if you, because I did it.
Backbreaking labor.
I did it in the summertime in Utah and Idaho. And I don't know if you know about the summers in Utah and Idaho, but it's a million degrees. And you are up top on black.
You're on up tops.
Surface. You're not good up tops, bad up tops. Like rocks and socks up tops.
Yeah.
It is.
A lot can go wrong, it seems.
It's not pleasant.
Now, I'm always amazed because we've had some roofing work done recently on our place.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed at how fast they go.
Well, once you get the hang of it and the actual,
I mean, they're fast.
Once the prep work is done and you're just, cause you're just laying shingles, that you can go extremely fast. If you got a good 2-man team and one's laying shingles and the other one's coming behind with the gun, you can really cook.
Boom, boom, boom.
And that actually, for the first like half hour when you get into a groove, that's great.
It's probably fun.
Yeah. And then like the sun starts beating down on you and you're like, F this. And your back starts to hurt because you're bent over. And those guys that have done that for like, you find like a construction guy who's worked that industry for 20, 25 years. Like my body's crap from football and I've got all kinds of ailments. Find a construction worker that's done that for 2 decades. Same thing. Dude's got bum back, shoulder, knees blown out, but you're still working through it. Those are some tough, tough men. You know, there's like a couple holes in their hand from when they, you know, they put something through it and just they've got that sort of tan that's you're not certain if they're rich or homeless. It's that level of dark. You're not certain what's going on. It's just a George Hamilton-esque hue of red versus orange. It's just it's a rough life.
Nice dirty truck.
Yes. Yes. But it's a really expensive truck if you've done it a long time.
Right.
You know, you're like, it's just an old pickup. You're like, dude, that's a $70,000 truck. You're like, I've been doing this a while.
Well, welcome to our show, guys.
Yes.
Hope everyone had a great weekend.
We had haircut and hot roofing talk.
Yeah, maybe not on the bingo card, but
I don't know if that's on the bingo.
Nonetheless, we are watching football.
Yes.
And it's very odd.
Yeah, the double Monday Nighter is, I love it. I love the early NFL Monday Night.
Yeah, game. But this one started way early.
I know.
Normally, they start at 7 Eastern.
Yes.
This started at 2 West Coast time.
Yes.
5 Eastern.
It is weird when you're show prepping and you look up and there's an NFL game. And I don't know about you, but my first thought was replay. And then I was like, oh, no, it's the live game.
This is actually live.
Yeah.
So we are watching Bills Chiefs, and it appears to be a pretty good game.
It is. And Stephon Diggs had an amazing touchdown. And I was talking about this right when we came in. The most underappreciated part of football, well, I can't say that because I just the size and speed, but something that doesn't get talked about enough is just the body awareness of these receivers to get their feet down. If you go back and watch that Diggs touchdown, it's insane how good these guys have become at getting not one, but both feet in bounds and dragging toes, because that is not something that consciously you can think about. Like you're falling down, a guy's coming on top of you and the ball's coming at a million miles an hour and you're reaching out and you got to work on catching it and securing it. And then just instinctually, you have to get both toes down. It's insane. The body control and awareness is mesmerizing to me.
It's great. I've been saying that for years, fella. Yeah. Just, football.
And this person is right. We're bearing the lead story in that we need to acknowledge that
Astros lost.
The national nightmare is over. We all,
yes.
as a collective sports community and really just as Americans in general, and Canadians, Hispanics, south of the border, all of us really, the island nations, can't we all just breathe a sigh of relief that those sons of bees are out of the postseason?
The Astros, yes.
I was sweating bullets.
Great game.
Yeah, both of them were.
Both game sevens?
Yeah.
Hey, you want to talk about those today?
I think we probably should.
Think we should?
Yeah. Bellinger separating his shoulder.
Cody Bellinger.
Oh, my gosh.
He's part of our poll question today,
ooh,
believe it or not.
He is.
Yeah. Let's start there.
Yeah, pull away.
Yeah, we've got a lot to do. It's Monday. We've got our college football weekend reach around. The World Series is set. Week 6 NFL. We've already got football happening tonight. Good football. Where do we begin? As always, with our poll question, Jason.
Yep. It's all about the poll.
It is 3:15 on the fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's our poll question today. As always, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. Family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. Today we're asking you which sportsers deserve the most credit right now. We've got 5 choices here.
That's a lot of choices.
I only gave Will 4, but he's
a real go-getter.
Yeah, he adds one. Randy Arozarena, or Arozarena.
I think it's
Arozarena. Yeah,
I keep hearing it both ways, but the announcers were saying
Arozarena.
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 Right? I think it was Arozarena.
He's the
MVP for the Rays.
Who Nick was just Saban.
Ridiculous. By the way, great call on your part. There's no way Saban was missing that game.
There was no way. And the fact that anyone doubted that.
Well, it's me. I mean, it's another sports argument I lost.
It is. And I think you were kind of the only one, you know?
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot of credit today for saying that Nick Saban, because the second he got COVID, I'm like, oh, you watch. He'll be out there for Georgia.
I just assumed that COVID, you know, you're not going to overcome COVID in right. 4 days. And Saban just gave me the bird.
You underestimate the SEC.
And then you go out and you just lay an old-fashioned ass-whooping on Georgia.
So I feel like you were the only one that doubted that. But yeah. I'll take the credit for calling that. So Nick Saban, Randy Arozarena, Cody Bellinger, the Tennessee Titans. Remember they had a COVID outbreak and the whole thing. Or Chris Berman's blonde hair.
Boy, the Chris Berman thing. We need to carve out a segment one of these times to get it. If you don't know, Chris Berman's doing they're doing it on ESPN Plus and then just the online stuff. But he does the Sunday Night Countdown stuff, his old school show. He has had one of the stranger transformations. Like, it's up there with like Sammy Sosa, where a guy goes away for a while and he comes back and you're like, wait, what? Like, what is that? It's like he's Hannibal Lectered Chris Berman. I just think it's another chubby old guy that cut off Chris Berman's face and is wearing a Chris Berman human mask. It's terrifying.
Where is he? Is he on ESPN still?
Well, that's what I just said. If you were listening, which you weren't.
I wasn't.
That's okay.
I was Googling his blonde hair because I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, he is. He's doing the Sunday Countdown show that he always did for all those years, but he's doing it online. It's like the ESPN Plus stuff.
So no one's seen him then?
No, not really. But occasionally he pops up and they allow him to do something. And so he is around. He just is in a very, very small role.
See, I feel like they wanted to fire him, but he's such an institution and they know it would probably kill him that they just put him online.
Well, he just pushed
and
him.
And no one really
cared. They just pushed him aside. And he's really not that old. Like,
how old is he?
Look at his weird, you know, like I said, the Hannibal Lecter mask. And how,
yeah, I see it here.
Take a guess.
Berman, he's probably 63.
Yeah, he's 65.
Okay.
And he looks in that photo, like he looks like he's 1,000.
Yeah, what? That's regrettable.
He looks like the Crypt Keeper.
He kind of looks like somebody put up a side-by-side of, you know, when they peel back the curtain in Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
That guy is back there?
Yeah.
He looks like that guy.
Well, and what is with the, I just.
Old Berman, man. He pulled a Brandon Sprague.
He did,
you know,
but he did it at 65 and it's, I don't even know what he's doing growing the hair at this point. It looks like Bill Murray from Kingpin. The comb over starts down by his chin. Like Trump's like, man, that's a hell of a comb over to like tone that thing down. Like someone needs to get a hold of Chris and just tell him, man, whatever you're doing here, this isn't working, my man.
Well, all those guys had great weekends, including Chris Berman's hair because, well. Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah,
you know,
it's certainly a deal. I mean, Bellinger though. I mean,
it's got to be Bellinger.
That's just one swing though. I mean,
that's right. Well, he didn't have a great catch. That was Betts last night. He had a great catch in the last series.
Yeah. I mean, Bellinger,
robbing a home run.
Bellinger has not been good in the postseason. I mean, he's been great a regular season MVP guy, but I mean, so if you want to say that one swing erases postseason failures, sure. I mean, obviously it was the biggest play, but I can't say that I give that, you know, that I can't give
who
that
we giving to, it to then
strictly to Bellinger. I mean, Arozarena had a 1,000 times better series and postseason than Bellinger did. So if you're going to, you know, figure out a baseball player to give an award to, it's him.
Okay. So you've got Arozarena, then you've got Saban and you've got the Titans.
I'm still going with,
I might have to go with the Titans.
Yeah. That's a hell of a.
Nice little 3-week stretch here.
Hell of a thing for them.
With the COVID and everyone
was counting them out with the COVID stuff. And by the way, we still haven't seen them punished by the NFL, which is supposedly coming.
Well, it sounds like they're not going to. Oh. Did you see their investigation has wrapped up?
No.
Yeah, they said that they here, let me get you the verbiage, the proper verbiage, fella. The NFL's review of the Titans is complete. They were in compliance and fully cooperative. They face a fine, but nothing more. Did he just miss that? Oh, he missed it.
Yeah. So we're going to the half.
Yeah, the Travis Kelce fumbled right at the end of the half. The Bills had a field goal to tie it, but it looks like I was reading. I missed it, but apparently he missed the field goal. So it's 13-10 in favor of the Chiefs.
Well,
at halftime.
It's a close
good
game.
Good little ball game.
Well, this is a big one for the Bills after they kind of got exposed a little bit last week. They needed a good showing here.
So the only thing they found was insufficient communication regarding player workouts outside of the facility, and they did find a few incidents of people in the facility not masked up. But other than that, they said they were in compliance and fully cooperative.
That's crazy. Because
so the Titans skate.
You know, all this talk was that they were going to have some sort of historic punishment coming down.
And they've gone 2-0. And
Tannehill, like, people were critical of the Tannehill contract, right?
And I feel like we all owe him an apology.
And Tannehill has been really good. People were very critical of the Derrick Henry thing. And King Henry has been all that and then some. And the Titans were viewed as one of those kind of one-hit wonder teams that got hot at the end of the year and people just kind of dismissed them. And you can't say that anymore. I mean, if you're going to talk about teams that are contenders right now in the NFL, again, it's early and a lot can happen. You have to put Tennessee in that mix. Their record indicates it.
So I think I'd vote for Tennessee, although Nick Saban had a nice little rebound second half of his week because, you know, you get hit with the COVID and then all of a sudden you're thinking, oh my God, I can't coach the biggest game. And then you do coach the biggest game and then you run away with the biggest game.
Yeah.
So a nice little weekend for him. So that's our poll question right there, 1080thefan.com. You must vote, damn it.
I'm still going to go with Randy. Yeah. Give it up for Randy Watson.
He's been great.
He's been
absolutely fantastic.
Amazing.
Let's get his numbers for you just before we go here.
Yes, pull that up.
Yeah, I'm going to pull that up.
Do it, please.
Randy Arozarena postseason for the entire postseason is hitting 321 with four home runs.
Nope. Just got fired.
356 with seven home runs and 10 RBIs.
Yeah, he's just
in the postseason,
and he's played a great. That's big catches in the outfield. He's been fantastic.
Good matchup. Yes. World Series. All right. Well, we'll get to that later. Would you like to start with our college football weekend reach around or
sure.
Week six in the NFL? What would you like? What can I do for you?
Well, I think the NFL was a more interesting week.
That's our menu.
Yeah, let's go NFL. Let me be honest.
Good choice, sir.
You know, outside of Bama and Clemson, what?
Well, I've got some notes here.
Okay. I still say we start with the NFL.
Well, then let's do it.
Let's.
Lot to talk about there. Tom Brady dominates Aaron Rodgers. The Steelers, the Seahawks, the Titans are your unbeatens now.
Couple real big statement games.
Mike Vrabel's the man now, all of a sudden.
Miami Dolphins.
Jimmy G. Yeah, you're Miami Dolphins.
The 49ers, by the way, again, I said a lot of statement games. Niners, after being written off.
Let's talk about that.
They came back and had a big FU.
All right, so we'll get to that when we return. But first, Jeff Rust with SportsCenter.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, NFL talk. We actually have an NFL game on right now, which is really odd.
It's actually not on right now. It's at halftime.
Well, technically the broadcast is on, but they are at the midway point there.
No, it's 3:30 and the game's halfway over. It's a bit strange.
Very strange. I don't know who decided to start the game. So, like, who decides what time a game kicks anyway?
I'm guessing the NFL does and their TV partners. So, I mean, we've had the stacked Monday.
No, but like more specifically.
I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing there's NFL has some sort of media liaison and then they get together with the networks because we've seen the double Monday nighters like at the start of the year, but they're not this early. But for whatever reason, they've decided that with these delayed games that this is the better way to do it.
2:00.
There's probably something contractually that like the original Monday night. The originally scheduled Monday night game probably can't be moved from the TV window.
It's possible.
Well, but they and so but
they don't
always
compete with it.
Yeah, well, they don't want to compete with their beloved Cowboys. That's the first thing that I think because Dallas is on later.
And yeah, this is a much better game. I think if you just asked
it is, but Cowboys draw eyeballs.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if that has something to do with it because they've played two Monday night games in the past and they haven't played one this early.
No, but with the with these delayed, I don't know if it was this early, but the other one started at 3.
Did it?
Yeah.
I thought so it was 4.
This one started at 2, but we've seen the earlier start before with these double Monday nighters since the COVID delays. But I don't remember one starting at 2.
Well, I don't mind it, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that can't see it. They're working.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't imagine it's ideal, yet they did it anyway. So Russ may be onto something with, you know,
TV window.
ESPN doesn't want to mess with their game later. I don't. Who knows?
Someone said COVID decides what time and when the NFL plays. Yes, it does.
Well, apparently it does. Although COVID has been just throwing a wrench into everything to the point where it's like, man, we had 10 a.m. NBA basketball games there
yeah,
for a while.
Yeah, it's strange. But again, this is like, we said this at the very beginning. There's nothing that's set in stone, nothing, including the Super Bowl, right? National championship. Like, how many times did we see college football move the date? Or how many games that you need in order to be eligible for it. Now there's no bowl game eligibility. You can go over and still end up in a bowl game. And this whole year, this whole sports season, from start to finish, everything is written in pencil at this point. Nothing is written down in pen, or certainly not carved into stone.
You tell us where the game's played, damn it. Or, I mean, when. We'll watch.
There you go.
I'll watch.
Well, I mean, we're watching now. We're trying to do a show, but we got an eyeball.
Yeah,
on
but
it.
I just can't imagine it's great for ratings with people working.
I can't imagine it is. Although, you know, most of the country lives on the other side, so
yeah,
you know, I'm
they got off work right as
yeah, you're dealing with Buffalo and Kansas City.
Got that whole 5 p.m. thing, like whistle blows, everybody leaves.
Except now everyone's at home, so you don't even have to have that. How many people are sitting at home right now, supposedly working while watching this, and hopefully not touching yourself inappropriately?
Hey, maybe. Yeah, Jeffrey Toobin.
How about that?
Maybe that is it. Maybe that's it. Maybe they said, hey, we could probably do a 2 p.m. West Coast, 5 p.m. East Coast, because most people are working from home anyway, and they'll be able to flip us on.
I guess.
That might be right.
Someone is saying that one of the national shows said Monday night is supposed to be ESPN's night, so Fox couldn't have a game in a competing time.
So normally the two Monday night games are both ESPN. Is that
yes.
the idea? Okay,
yes.
That makes sense. And so Fox this is has Fox this one.
Because this wasn't supposed to be a Monday. That makes sense.
That does make sense.
Because when they do the doubleheader at the start of the year on Monday night, yes, those are both ESPN games.
You
and
can't
they just
pee
run.
In ESPN's pot.
Exactly.
That's what I said. Booty trap.
You did. Yeah, you did call
they
that.
Spend a lot
I didn't think of,
money. Of
the two different networks.
There you go.
But that makes total sense. By the
I
way, there's Joe Buck.
That either.
Joe Buck, are you ready for his week?
What?
Can I tell you what Joe Buck's week's like? Because I know.
I'm guessing that Joe Buck is going to be flying a lot.
He texted me. So he's doing Bills Chiefs tonight in Buffalo. By the way, it's at the half. Kansas City's up 13-10. He will be on the call of game one tomorrow night in Texas for World Series. He'll be on the call of game two Wednesday night in Texas. Then he goes to Philadelphia for Giants-Eagles Thursday night. Then he is on the call for games 3, 4, and 5 back in Texas of the World Series, should we need a game 5. So that means 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The next 6 nights, he's calling a major sporting event.
It's pretty, like, I know that Buck gets a lot of crap, and I don't understand why. I do not understand.
By the way, speaking of hair jobs or dye jobs.
You know. He's got.
He's gone kind of blonde too.
Well, there's he is.
He and Berman.
Well, he talks about it in his book.
Well, he's very
He's very vain and self-conscious about it, and he did the hair plugs, and it almost cost him his career.
I gotta say, his hair looks pretty good now, even though it's.
I'm sure he's had like 15 of those procedures.
Sure, but it looks good. Wherever he got it, I mean, however he did it.
Yeah.
He's doing all right.
He almost lost his career. He said he had like some sort of negative reaction to it, and his vocal cords got paralyzed. You know, he was almost not able to broadcast because he got hair plugs, which not certain how that works, but I don't know, maybe went to Joe Biden's guy. But for all the hate he gets, which again, don't understand, I think Joe Buck does a good job. I get he's not everyone's favorite, but I don't know who hates Joe Buck. Dude, that is an impressive task of being able to be up on everything that you need to be. I mean, think about all the nuances that you have to do to just call one of those things. And all the prep that goes into it. And that guy has to juggle all that. Oh, by the way, calling the World Series to boot.
He's a pro.
He is.
2 NFL games and possibly 5 Major League Baseball games all in a row.
Yeah, he is a pro. Again, may not everyone's cup of tea. I just think he is irrationally hated, and I don't get it.
All right. Well, some people think he's condescending, arrogant, elitist.
Well, welcome to the world of big-time media members. Do you think Colin I said big time.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Annoying. A lot of people think he's annoying.
Yeah. But again, I would make the argument that if you sat down with Colin or Rome or Patrick or Jim Nance or, you know, any of these people, the vast majority of them.
How dare you?
They think I will. It is so bizarre. The Stephen A's and the Skip Bayless's, this profession that we are in now. And I don't think it was always this way. But with the rise of salaries and just guys in our profession becoming stars, because the Stephen A's or the Screaming A's and the Skip Bayless and Collins and Rome and all those guys, they're stars in their own right. In some ways, they're better compensated than the people that they're covering. and are bigger deals than the people that they are covering. And when that happens, I can assure you that the level of ego and self-importance that people in our profession put upon themselves is extraordinary. Go to a national title game sometime, or a World Series or a Super Bowl, and hang around the media, and I will find you some people that think an awful lot of themselves and think that their job is every bit, if not more important than the game they're covering.
We do have an overly egotistical business, Chase.
Yes.
Perfect for our big egos.
Let's just sit there and yell and scream at one another over arguments that really don't make any sort of difference, but then pretend that if we weren't around, it couldn't happen. It's the, who is it? Erin Andrews. That's my favorite one that I've seen.
Oh, she's out there tonight.
Of course she is.
She's got her umbrella out there.
Erin Andrews had the huevos to say in the ESPN book that, I think it was Les Miles, said that if she didn't come back to the sidelines after her scandal, then what was the point of playing?
I thought he said that about her.
She supposedly, that's what she claims. But even if that was said, they interviewed you about you in that ESPN book and your role in it, and you decided to pull out the, well, it has been told to me that if I'm not doing the sidelines, then there's really no point in playing the games. Really, Erin? Really, you believe that? That's the one you're going to go with? All right.
She's pretty cocky too, huh?
Yes. Erin thinks a lot of Erin.
All right. Well, you do get, you know, you get adulation from people.
Yeah, well.
That can go to your head. Or, you know, you look so damn good on TV, like Erin Andrews.
Everyone in our business.
Don't I know it?
Yeah. Rusty knows.
Everyone in our business could afford to turn it down about four notches.
Or get a little perspective on.
Just maybe. I'm sorry, Erin.
Their reach.
But if you're not there to ask the coach a terrible question on the sidelines, guess what? The game's going to be okay. We can find someone else to do it.
All right, sidetracked. Tom Brady hammers Aaron Rodgers. We start there next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, for some reason we only got one and a half games yesterday afternoon. In the NFL, because Jets-Dolphins was a half a game.
Yeah.
And then we got Tampa-Green Bay, and that was it.
Yeah, and the...
very weird.
In the Tampa game, I mean, it was over by half. I mean, it just...
It was 10-0 Green Bay, and then Tampa won 38-10.
Yeah, just going away. That pick six just kind of changed everything, and he almost had another one. You know,
Third pick six of Rodgers' career.
Yeah, it just was a bit of a shocker. I thought Green Bay, and I still do, right? I mean, we're 4-1, and we're so quick to write off football teams. It's like, you know, Buffalo didn't look good last week, and there were people openly saying, well, is Buffalo as good as we thought, or have they been exposed a little bit, and defense hasn't been that good? Well, if they come back tonight, or today, because it's not tonight here, and if they beat Kansas City, then the narrative changes. We're so quick in the NFL to write off or anoint. But, for Green Bay, and Roger said it afterwards, and LaFleur kind of echoed it. He said, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe we did need to get our ass kicked a little bit, wake you up. But that's a big statement game.
Relax.
On the part of the Buccaneers, because Tampa had looked very uneven up until this point, and Green Bay looked like, if not the best team, one of the two or three best teams, and the Bucs took them behind the woodshed.
But this NFL, though, man, it's just so weird, the NFL.
Sure.
Like... the Bengals jump out 21-0 on the Colts. The Falcons drop 40 on the Vikings. You know,
For all the talk of the Eagles being warmed over dog poo,
and the Rams lost,
and realize that they aren't very good right now. I mean they were right there against Pittsburgh and right there against Baltimore, and have put up 28 and 29 points against arguably the two best defenses in the NFL the last couple weeks with no offensive players to speak of.
Yeah, so it's just this league is that's why it's fun.
You see,
pretty unpredictable.
By the end of the game,
but Tampa looked good.
They looked real good. By the end of the Ravens game, the Philadelphia Eagles, of their starting 22 on offense, so they're two deep, I believe they were down 17 or 18 of them by the end of that football game.
Are you serious?
Not starting 22, the 22 deep on the offensive side of the football.
Wow.
Yeah, from the start of the year.
And then they lost Ertz.
Yeah.
And they lost.
And that's why I said by the end of the game,
Sanders.
That's what they were down. 17 or 18 of the starting 22.
Incredible.
And yet you were right there at the end of that game. So I'm not saying that Philadelphia is any good, far from it, but like you said, welcome to the world of the NFL, where there is no such thing as a certainty in this league.
Nope.
This is not college. This is not Clemson via Georgia Tech. Every one of these guys is a professional, with the exception of the Jets, who are god awful and are going to go in 16. There just isn't a sure thing in the NFL. And that being said, they'll fire Gase at some point and the Jets will surprise us with a win. But if you look at the Jets schedule, you tell me where a win is coming. They've got, so
who do they have?
They got the Bills.
Nope.
At the Chiefs.
Nope.
Patriots.
Nope.
Chargers.
Nope.
Dolphins.
Nope.
Raiders.
Nope.
Seahawks.
Nope.
Rams.
Nope.
Browns. Patriots. That schedule is brutal.
Where do they win?
They don't.
Well, but let's say they do win a game. Where is it?
Maybe
they snip Miami.
Maybe. Except I think Miami's playing really well right now.
Yeah, but their win's going to probably come in the division if they get one.
Patriots,
you know how those division games
Patriots,
are.
Patriots offense is sketch, and if Cam Newton gets hurt.
That's true.
You know, maybe that. Just isn't. Browns maybe, but the Browns offense will carve them up.
Case Keenum.
There isn't a win. The Jets are going to go over. That is the only.
Amazing.
By far, that is the worst team in football, and I think it's by,
yeah, but we've
by
seen,
a large amount.
To your point about there's no certainty in the NFL, we thought this about Miami last year.
Yeah.
Right?
But they just kept
getting smoked and like, oh my God, they're not even trying and this is the worst thing
they
ever.
They played hard. And
they rattled off I think they were 0-1. I don't remember. They started 0-4 and everybody's like, they're not going to win. There's no chance.
And they played real hard at the end.
Yeah, they rattled off like 4 or 5 wins.
Yeah. But I think that's the difference is they were playing for a coach that they liked and this is abysmal.
Well, they'll fire Gase though. I mean, they'll fire him. So
Unless the goal is to just lose as many games as humanly possible, and maybe they keep him around.
But the interim coaches are 2-0.
Yeah.
So you had...
by the way, the Dolphins won 5 last year, including their final 2.
Right. So
and
I mean,
remember, they beat the Patriots at the end of the year to keep the Patriots from getting the bye.
You just never know, man. But I would say the Jets do look... It's different. You're right, with the coaching situation there.
Yeah.
But the interim coaches are 2-0. You had... the Atlanta coach, Raheem Morris.
Yep. Good guy, won. By the way. He was one of the assistants when I was in Tampa. Good dude.
He beat Minnesota. They looked pretty good. They dropped 40 on him, probably getting Mike Zimmer fired. And then the other guy is Romeo Crennel, and he won in his first game.
No.
So you fire your coach. Yeah, he did.
No, the Texans didn't win.
Well, they didn't win this weekend, but they won in his first game.
Oh, in his first game. Sorry, I was like, whoa, they didn't win. But yeah, you are correct. They're the opener.
So if you want to win, fire your coach.
I don't think the Jets want to win. And that's and
so I'm, they take Lawrence then?
Yeah. I mean,
do they?
I
would. Punt on Darnold, trade Darnold.
And I'm not saying that Sam Darnold is guaranteed to be bad. You know, I don't know. He certainly hasn't had anything around him. I don't know how many people would succeed in that. But Sam Darnold has shown you no signs of being a franchise guy. And I've said this about quarterbacks, and I'll say it till the end of time. If you think you have a special quarterback, it does not matter in the draft, and you have the opportunity to take him, do not let the fact that you've already made a mistake keep you from drafting that guy, because all you're doing is compounding that mistake. You know, and no offense to Sam Darnold, but what have you really lost other than, you know, than a couple wasted years? So get rid of him, send him down the road, get a fourth round pick for him, and move on to Trevor Lawrence. It's just such a stupid notion to say that you wouldn't draft a guy. Now, if you don't think Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or whoever is a generational talent, or Sam Howell, whoever's going to be the number one pick, assume it's going to be Trevor Lawrence. If you don't think he's a generational talent, then fine, don't. But if you think he is, if you think he's the best prospect since Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck was the best prospect since John Elway, then what the hell are you doing with Sam Darnold? Send him packing, send him down the road.
Well, it would probably matter. See, that's why I think they're going to fire Gase soon. Is if they keep on this trajectory, they need to bring in a new coach, or at least have an idea who their new coach is going to be so that they can make that decision.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
And match their personnel with
exactly with what
coaching.
With what you want to do. And I'm not kidding on this. And I think it was Damian Woody. It might have been Mike Greenberg. Someone brought it up, and I think it's actually a pretty good idea. If I'm Trevor Lawrence,
don't go.
I'm not going. Yeah. I would 100% play the, unless they hired a hammer GM and a head coach, and you're like, okay, we're going to change this, right? We're changing the culture here. If I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm not doing that. I'm not spending my career there. I pull an Eli Manning and be like, go ahead, draft me. Yeah. I'll go back to Clemson. I'll sit out a year. We're not doing this.
It is New York, though. Probably be good for his little brand.
Yeah, if you want. If that's your goal to build a brand, but it's really hard to build a brand when you're getting your teeth kicked in every week.
Well, I'm honestly not I actually am kind of surprised that more quarterbacks don't do this. Like,
doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't. And I think it, well, there's certainly an avenue for guys to do it more than they do. Like Joe Burrow could have easily done that.
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
And there was
and avoided
that,
Cincinnati.
There was some talk that he would. And, you know,
he never did.
The only one that, I mean, the one that comes to mind is
Eli and Elway.
Eli. It's just like, no, like we're not doing this. And the Elway one was a little bit drug out, but the Eli thing, I mean, that got dealt with right away, and they had the Phillip Rivers, and away you go.
So anyway, back to Tampa. That was a segment on Tampa, supposedly.
Ah, very big statement game. In fact,
yes,
I would make the argument, and I don't think there's much one to be made to the contrary. Biggest statement game of the weekend was the Bucs.
Yeah, so they had Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers went 3 of 12 for 28 yards and was sacked 3 times when Tampa blitzed.
Yep.
And they also have the #1 rush defense in the NFL, Tampa. They're legit.
And they held them to, not looking at Aaron Jones, 10 carries, 15 yards. Williams, 4 carries, 34 yards. But most of that came on he had one long one for like 25. But the offense, after the first 10 points, did nothing. They were blanked the rest of the way.
Here are the top 10 NFL passers on third down. Number 2 through 10. Mm-hmm. Mahomes, Allen, Roethlisberger, Breeze. Okay, then you've got Carr, Brady, Minshew, Rodgers, and Lamar Jackson. #1, Justin Herbert.
Yeah, dude, you can't say enough. And by the way, he's doing that.
Herbert went after that Bucs defense. Screw you, Aaron Rodgers.
And he's being pressured.
Of course, he lost too, but.
He's being pressured at roughly the same clip as some of the worst offensive lines in the NFL.
All right, going for 2 controversy and ranking the best teams next. It is 357 on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.